like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Now let's join together in song with hymn number 257. And the words of this hymn were written by Mary Baker Eddy.
The waiting horse rings of a
welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is praying about pain. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible. Job. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. His flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Psalms. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. Jeremiah. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, If thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. St. Mark. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, and oft into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Romans. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And now, correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Every supposed pleasure in sin will furnish more than its equivalent of pain until belief in material life and sin is destroyed. The pains of sinful sense are less harmful than its pleasures. The pains of sense quickly inform us that the pleasures of sense are mortal and that joy is spiritual. The pains of sense are salutary if they wrench away false pleasurable beliefs and transplant the affections from sense to soul, where the creations of God are good, rejoicing the heart. If we look to the body for pleasure, we find pain. For life, we find death. For truth, we find error. For spirit, we find its opposite matter. Now, reverse this action. Look away from the body into truth and love, the principle of all happiness, harmony, and immortality. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionably to their occupancy of your thoughts. The effect of mortal mind on health and happiness is seen in this. If one turns away from the body with such absorbed interest as to forget it, the body experiences no pain. Under the strong impulse of a desire to perform his part, a noted actor was accustomed night after night to go upon the stage and sustain his appointed task, walking about as actively as the youngest member of the company. This old man was so lame that he hobbled every day to the theater and sat aching in his chair till his cue was spoken, a signal which made him as oblivious of physical infirmity as if he had hailed chloroform, though he was in the full possession of his so-called senses. Systems of religion and medicine treat of physical pains and pleasures, but Jesus rebuked the suffering from any such cause or effect. A hypodermic injection of morphine is administered to a patient, and in 20 minutes the sufferer is quietly asleep. To him, there is no longer any pain. Yet any physician, allopathic, homeopathic, botanic, eclectic, will tell you that the troublesome material cause is unremoved, and that when the soporific influence of the opium is exhausted, the patient will find himself in the same pain, unless the belief which occasions the pain has meanwhile been changed. Opiates do not remove the pain in any scientific sense. They only render mortal mind temporarily less fearful till it can master an erroneous belief. Where is the pain while the patient sleeps? Why need pain rather than pleasure come to this mortal fence? Because the memory of pain is more vivid than the memory of pleasure. I have seen an unwitting attempt to scratch the end of a finger which had been cut off for months. When the nerve is gone, which we say was the occasion of pain, and the pain still remains, it proves sensation to be in the mortal mind, not in matter. Nerves are not the source of pain or pleasure. Reverse the process. Take away this so-called mind instead of a piece of the flesh, and the nerves have no sensation. Mortals are inclined to fear and to obey what they consider a material body more than they do a spiritual God. All material knowledge, like the original tree of knowledge, multiplies their pains, for mortal illusions would rob God, slay man, and meanwhile would spread their table with cannibal tidbits and give thanks. Spirit's senses are without pain, and they are forever at peace. Before deciding that the body matter is disordered, one should ask, "Who art thou that replies to spirit? Can matter speak for itself, or does it hold the issues of life?" Matter, which can neither suffer nor enjoy, has no partnership with pain and pleasure. But mortal belief has such a partnership. You say a boil is painful, but that is impossible. For matter without mind is not painful. The boil simply manifests, through inflammation and swelling, a belief in pain. And this belief is called a boil. Now, administer mentally to your patient a high attenuation of truth, and it will soon cure the boil. The fact that pain cannot exist where there is no mortal mind to feel it is a proof that this so-called mind makes its own pain, that is, its own belief in pain. Jesus strips all disguise from error when his teachings are fully understood. By parable and argument, he explains the impossibility of good producing evil, and he also scientifically demonstrates this great fact, proving by what are wrongly called miracles that sin, sickness, and death are beliefs, illusive errors, which he could and did destroy. Christian science awakens the sinner, reclaims the infidel, and raises from the couch of pain the helpless invalid. Instead of blind and calm submission to the incipient or advanced stages of disease, rise in rebellion against them. Banish the belief that you can possibly entertain a single intruding pain which cannot be ruled out by the might of mind. And in this way, you can prevent the development of pain in the body. Keep in mind the verity of being, that man is the image and likeness of God, in whom all being is painless and permanent. If a crisis occurs in your treatment, you must treat the patient less for the disease and more for the mental disturbance or fermentation, and subdue the symptoms by removing the belief that this chemicalization produces pain or disease. Insist vehemently on the great fact, which covers the whole ground, that God, Spirit, is all, and that there is none beside Him. There is no disease. When the supposed suffering is gone from mortal mind, there can be no pain. And when the fear is destroyed, the inflammation will subside. We treat error through the understanding of truth, because truth is error's antidote. If a dream ceases, it is self-destroyed and the terror is over. When a sufferer is convinced that there is no reality in his belief of pain, because matter has no sensation, hence pain in matter is a false belief, how can he suffer longer? When we wake to the truth of being, all disease, pain, weakness, weariness, sorrow, sin, death will be unknown, and the mortal dream will forever cease.
Thank you.